Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. The Reverend Dr. Paul Philp is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Exodus, the third chapter. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What then shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Moses beheld an incredible sight. There in the midst of the wilderness, as he was tending his father-in-law's sheep, he beholds a bush filled with flame. And yet the bush itself, the material that made up that bush, was not being consumed. This was no ordinary sight. The angel of the Lord was there appearing to Moses in the fire, in the midst of that bush. The angel of the Lord had come to speak to Moses. And so there in the midst of that fire, in the midst of that bush, not only was he appearing, but calling to Moses. He was there because he had seen the oppression of his people, and he intended to deliver them from their slavery. The angel of the Lord was there for Moses that he might utilize him in that process, that he might send him to Pharaoh to lead his people, Israel, out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. He was there to call Moses into service. And in a miraculous manner, he does. The unconsumed burning bush, God's holy and divine presence, Moses, a sinner, in the presence of Almighty God. Mighty deliverance to come, that we, on this side of history, know has come. Yahweh beheld the oppression of his people, and he delivered them. The Israelites, those whom Moses was to go and deliver, they no doubt felt burned and consumed by fire under the heavy oppression of slavery in Egypt, burned daily by the burdens of their taskmasters and the work that they were to accomplish, heavily weighed down by the expectation of Pharaoh and those under his charge, yearning for deliverance, having perhaps forgotten that it was deliverance that brought them to Egypt in the first place when they had needed food in a time of famine, having perhaps forgotten that God keeps his promises and remembers his people. Lost not only in their oppression, but no doubt in the sinful desires of their own hearts. And yet, those lost, oppressed Israelites cried out for help to God, and he heard them and beheld their oppression and had compassion and came to deliver them. Deliverance was to come. They would be brought up out of Egypt, just as God promised. And as we know, the cycle would repeat itself. The Israelites would forget, and they would grumble, and they would find them oppressed, and once again, they would be delivered. A generation would die off in the wilderness, but they would inherit the promised land. The cycle would continue over and over down through the course of Israel's history. They would sin, they would grumble, Yahweh would deliver. The taint of that same sin has burned and oppressed you and me as well. Unlike the bush in the wilderness, we find ourselves at times consumed and filled with the selfish ambition of our diseased souls, the sin into which we were conceived, all-consuming, permeating the entirety of our beings, sin that festers and continues to afflict us, the effect of its presence corrupting the very thoughts, words, deeds, and desires. We know its burden all too well. We experience the oppression of sin and its guilt. Satan beguiles us with his twisted words in the guilt of our sin. And he either tempts us to ignore our sin and sin all the more, or throws it in our face and points to the guilt and shame that we have brought upon ourselves so that we feel even more guilty. And we find ourselves then in the face of the law, standing accused, condemned, and unable to rectify our sinful condition. And as if all this were not enough, there's the consequences of that sin, our own sin that afflicts us, and the sin in the world around us in which we have our being. Consequences of our own sin directly related to our own behavior. Consequences of a fallen world that burden us in a multiplicity of different ways. So burdened by our sin, like the Israelites, we too cry out for deliverance. Take heart, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the same Yahweh who appeared to Moses in that fiery bush has heard our cries. He has seen our oppression, and he has brought deliverance to us. God the Father has sent his Son into the wilderness, not the wilderness where Moses was tending sheep, but the wilderness of our sin, to bear its oppression, to be consumed by its guilt and the unquenchable fires of God's holy wrath as he suffered the punishment that very sin deserved on Calvary's cross, where he paid its price and bore its full and entire burden. And by his Spirit, he has called us then to repentance. He tenderly invites us to cast our sin upon him and repent of its burden. And in fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on our part, he grants us his holy absolution. He removes sin's burden. He removes sin's guilt. He sets us free and grants us eternal salvation. He takes the all-consuming fire from us so that we are not consumed by it. He makes us his own in baptism and pours into us the medicine of immortality in his body and blood at his holy altar. Redeemed, restored, and forgiven, he goes with us, even as he promised to go with Moses. He fights the battle for us as we press on in life. He bears our burdens with us. He comforts us in all of our challenges and sorrows. He chastens and he heals. And though the fires of this world may sting and burn us, it is through them that he refines us, purifies us. And because he has forgiven us and made us to be his own, those fires shall never consume us. For even in death, we rest safe in his faithfulness. Fire burns, fire consumes. Yahweh has consumed your sin in Christ Jesus by the fire of his wrath. By his grace, he has granted you forgiveness, life, and salvation. He has made you to be the temple of his Holy Spirit, so that his fire might burn in your hearts in faith, and like the bush in the wilderness, you will not be consumed. Like Moses, you will stand on holy ground in the presence of Yahweh for all eternity. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Vincent Bain, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.